Now, this morning I more or less want to continue where I finished off, but I'm not going over the message that I preached this morning, except to say, remember the headings was, what period of time the Lord was born during the reign of Caesar Augustus, where he was born in Bethlehem's manger, and the wise men that came from afar. Now, of course, when our Lord was born here on earth, the religious state of Israel was in a very deplorable state. It was in darkness. And this afternoon, I want us to look again at the light of the world who was born in that stable in Bethlehem. But I want us to look at two particular things. Two particular beings. Human beings and spiritual beings. And they took part in our Lord's birth. Now the human beings are the shepherds. And here they are, as Luke tells us, or here they were, where Luke tells us, looking after their sheep on the plains of Bethlehem. In other words, they were guarding their sheep from the wolves that roamed the countryside of Palestine, and particularly in Bethlehem. And so every night, when it got dark, when the shepherds rounded up their sheep, they went out to guard their sheep, to protect them from any harm coming to them. But of course, we have a far greater shepherd. Our shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from heaven's glory, took upon himself the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. And he's our great shepherd. That's one of the titles he reminds us about in the Gospels, and particularly in John's Gospel. He's our great shepherd. He leads his people in all their going outs and their coming in, just as the shepherds in Bethlehem led their sheep in and out every day and guarded them by night to protect them from any evil or from any wild animal or from any wolf coming and attacking their sheep. And here they are. Try and get a picture of these shepherds. Here they are, in the dark, sitting down, looking up to the stars above them. Now, I was out in Israel way back in 1969, when I left Bible college, and I never saw so many stars, I don't think, in all my life, as I did in a clear night in Israel. Wherever you went, there were stars. Not only was there bright stars shining, there were shooting stars going one way, going that way, and going the next way. Well, in all probability, the shepherds definitely saw the stars as they looked up. Whether they saw shooting stars, I don't know. But they definitely looked up and probably saw the stars. When suddenly, a great light surrounded them. A light that they never experienced in their life before. An angel appeared. And when they saw this great bright light, fear filled them. Fear filled them. They didn't know what was happening, what this bright light represented. And here they were. And then the angel said those tremendous words to the shepherds, "Fear not. Fear not." In other words, do not be afraid. For, here we are again, little word, for. For unto you is born in the city of David a shepherd, a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. This baby is lying in that manger in Bethlehem, the city of David. I bring you great news, good tidings, great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Now, how would the shepherds recognize this baby, the Saviour of the world? How would they recognize him? Because I'm pretty sure there must have been other babies born in and around that time in Bethlehem. And remember, Bethlehem was absolutely packed because, as I said this morning, Caesar Augustus made this decree that everyone had to be taxed. So everyone that became, lived and born in Bethlehem had to go back to Bethlehem. There was Joseph, of course. He had to return to Bethlehem with Mary. And it was absolutely teeming with people. So much so, there was no room for them in the inn. The inn was packed. And when the innkeeper heard that Joseph's wife was expecting a child, the only place he had for them was the stable. But as I said this morning, it was all in God's plan that his son should be born and laid in a manger. "Unto you," said the angel, "is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." How would they know that this child was the Saviour? How would they find him? Well, the scriptures tells us. You'll find the babe lying in the crib, wrapped in swaddling bands, and lying in a manger. The angel left nothing out. He made sure that these shepherds would find the Lord Jesus Christ as a baby, and they would recognize him and who he was. But not only that, we are told that suddenly there was a great host of other angels that joined these angels, singing, praising God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Suddenly, it seemed as if the heavens was filled with the angels, and there they were, praising God and singing God's praises. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Now these shepherds, when the angel appeared to these shepherds, they were poor. They weren't some rich Pharisee or some rich Sadducee or some rich lawyer or some rich priest that they would find in Jerusalem. They were poor. So once again, we have to remind ourselves that it was all in God's plan. God chose that his son would be born in Bethlehem, in the city of David, and would lie in a manger. And that God chose in the far-flung ages of eternity that he would come not to Jerusalem to tell the religious Jews, the religious rulers who were leading the blind people religiously. It was the case of the blind leading the blind, because the religious The religion, when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, it was in darkness. And God chose that he would send an angel to tell those poor shepherds that Christ, his son, very God, of very God, would be born and laid in that crib, in that manger, in that filthy stable. It was all God's doing. It was all God's planning. He planned it, as I said this morning, on the far, far flying edges of eternity. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling bands and laying in the manger. And suddenly, there was a great host of these heavenly beings. So you have the human beings in one hand, you have the heavenly beings in the other hand, and they've come together because God planned it, telling the poor shepherds where Christ was to be found. And suddenly, there was with this angel a great host of the heavenly angels saying, peace, goodwill towards men. What peace? What peace? Were the angels proclaiming some sort of earthly peace? Look at the world. Oh yes, the United Nations, the League of Nations, what was it they did? They tried to get these countries that were at war with one another to sort them out and to form some sort of peace. But you know they'll never succeed. They'll never, ever succeed. They have come and they have gone. Look at Syria today. Look at Iraq. Look at Afghanistan. Just recently in the news, the Taliban are almost taking back the places that the British troops stopped them from taking. Ah, there's peace, peace. When there is no peace, there never has been true peace in this world. True peace is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's found nowhere else. And this is the peace that the angels came to proclaim to the shepherds. Peace, goodwill towards men. And then just as suddenly as the angel came and the angels came, they went and disappeared as fast as they came. And when they had disappeared, the shepherds went to see this great sight that was told by the angels. And they rejoiced when they saw this child. But why? Why did the Lord send angels to his son's birth? Why did he send the angels to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ was born at Bethlehem? Now let's get this clear in our minds. Angels are not like human beings. They were never meant to be like human beings, like you and I. Why is it that we don't see angels today as the shepherds saw them? Well, I believe one reason why we don't see angels today with our physical eye is because we would end up worshipping the angels and not the Lord himself. In our frail, human, sinful nature, we would end, in all probability, end up worshipping the angels than worshipping the Lord. We would take our eyes away from worshipping the Lord to worship the angel. And that, of course, in the eyes of the Lord, would be idolatry. Now, of course, there are angels. There's no ifs or buts. They are angels. But they are super spiritual beings. They're not like human beings. They're not like, as I say, you and I. And it was right and it was proper that the angels should be there at the Lord's birth. God planned it. God planned that the angels should be there at the Lord's birth. Just as God planned it that the angel would be there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Just as God planned it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Just as God planned it when the Lord rose from the dead. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane, when you had the poor disciples, useless comforters, Peter, James, and John? The Lord went to the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't he? He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He said to Peter, James, and John, sit under that, lie down there, stay there, they sat under a tree. And he said, I'm going farther into the garden. And he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Comes to his disciples. There they are, fast asleep. Peter, he said, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Watch that you enter not into temptation. No wonder Peter fell. No wonder Peter denied his Lord, because he took his eyes off the Lord. Couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? Watch that you enter not into temptation. And the Lord again went and prayed the same prayer the second time. Father, if, that little word if makes all the difference. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What a night the Lord went through. What suffering he went through that night in that garden. Second time he comes to his disciples, fast asleep. Fast asleep. They were meant to be comforting our Lord in his trials. And here they are, fast asleep. Goes the third time. Prays the same prayer. But the difference is this time, the Lord sent, God the Father sent his angel to comfort his son. So here they are, those super spiritual beings at the Lord, with the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here they were. They were comforting the Lord. They knew what he was about to go through. They knew he was about to suffer and bled and die. As I said this morning, never man suffered and finally die on the cross at Calvary for sinners, and to rise again to give sinners everlasting life. But the comfort of the disciples, well, they're fast asleep. They're fast asleep. And they say, no wonder Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Peter, couldn't you watch with me? And then, of course, we have the Lord suffering, bleeding, died on the cross at Calvary. Third day, he rose again from the dead. Now, I'm sure those of us who know and love the Lord know that. Because without the resurrection, we'd still be dead in our trespasses and sin, and be no hope in this world and no hope for eternity. He had to rise from the dead. If the Lord's life ended on the cross, we would be, of most men, miserable, as Paul reminds us. But he did rise again from the dead the third day. And to remember, Mary and the woman, Mary Magdalene, the woman, went to the tomb. And they never thought who was going to roll away this big, big stone that rolled over the Lord's grave. But when they got there, they found, of course, the stone had already been rolled away. And they came, and Mary saw the angel sitting or lying on the top of the stone. And he said, "Whom do you seek?" "We seek Jesus." "Well, he's not here," said the angel. "He's not here. He's risen as he said he would." The super spiritual being said to Mary, "He's not here. He's risen as he said he would." And then James and John, the disciples, hear that the Lord has risen. What did they say? "Great news! Great joy! He's risen!" No, they didn't. It seemed to them as an idle tale. What? They followed him for 3 years. It seemed to them as an idle tale. And then the Lord appeared that first Sunday of the week. And what was it he said? "Peter, you denied me. Clear off. Don't want anything else to do with you." And he could have said the same to doubting Thomas. The first words of the Lord was, "Peace. Peace. Peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth unto you. I give you my true spiritual everlasting peace. No man will be able to take it away from you. You will have it here while you're my witnesses on earth, and you'll have it throughout all the ages of eternity." Remember, Peter denied him. Thomas doubted him. "Lest I see the nail print in his hands and put my finger into the nail prints of his hands and his side, I just will not believe." Then the Lord Jesus, of course, appeared 8 days later. What Thomas was doing for these 8 days, well, we could speculate from now until we get to eternity. We just do not know. He might have had some genuine reason why he wasn't there. But then again, he might not have had. So we can't speculate. We can't put into the Word of God which is not there. I know a lot of people try to do that, but it's a very dangerous thing to do. And that's how, and that's exactly what the cults do. They put into the Word of God what is not in the Word of God. And Thomas is there with his disciples. The Lord appears to him again. What does he say? "I want nothing to do with you, Thomas. You denied me. You doubted me." Peter denied him. Thomas doubted him. No, no, no. He said, "Thomas," he appeared and said, "Peace, I leave with you. Put your fingers into my wounds and be not doubting, but believe." But believe. Now, angels, as I say, are not like us. When Peter and John got to the tomb, John outran Peter. But Peter, being the boisterous one, went into the tomb. He didn't see the angels. He didn't see the angels. But the angels were there. The angels were there. He didn't see them. Neither did John. Immediately they left the tomb. Mary Magdalene went in. Right afterwards, there was the angels. They reappeared. So angels are not like human beings. They can come and they can go whenever they please. They have superhuman strength. They're not like us in any manner or means. So I say this afternoon, it was right and proper that they should be at our Lord's birth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men. Peace. Peace. I tell you, my friend, there never will be true peace in this world. Only true peace is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the great thing about that is this. Even as his children, when our minds are troubled, and when the devil attacks us and tries to make us sin, we always have the peace of God. That peace which passes all understanding. And you can have the League of Nations as we did. You can have the United Nations as we do. They'll never ever know what true peace is in this world unless they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. What was it that the angels also said? They said, we bring you great joy. Great joy. Well, certainly the non-Christian can have joy in their lives. They can have the joy of being really wealthy. They can have the joy of having a life where they haven't got any serious illness. And they can have joy in many different and wonderful ways. But that is not the joy which the Lord Jesus Christ only can give a person. Everlasting, eternal joy is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, and in him alone. So you have the human beings, the shepherds. You have the angels, the super spiritual beings who know nothing of sin because they have never sinned. And as I say, you have the shepherds. And unless a person knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, they will never know the joy that only he can bring. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Amen.